So these spiritual exercises are really based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola were made for 30 days, and they are divided in weeks. So in the next two meditations, we're gonna do one whole week. So it is a little bit like trying to put a lot in it, but I'm not really trying to make it heavy, like putting many meditations into one, but I'm just trying to make it dense in the sense that there's a lot to chew in each meditation. So I hope that it's helpful for you, so that when you go to your personal prayer, you can find a lot there. I hope so. And the first week of St. Ignatius, it's called Principle and Foundation. And it's called Principle and Foundation because it's a little bit like things that you should know about spiritual life, ABC, and about God, and about the last things, and about what is this all about. And then once that you figure it out, so to say, this is like the parkour of the spiritual exercises that I'm just trying to give you an overview. And once you figure that out, you realize, okay, I know what this is all about, and I realize that maybe I have not lived accordingly. So then it comes the second week. And the second week is called Sin and Mercy. And then you see, okay, I see clearly what was wrong, but I also see the incredible love of God that is calling me to this conversion. And then you experience that mercy in such a way that at the end of that second week, you should be able to say, wow, I mean, Jesus, you're so good that the only thing that I want to do is just follow you wherever you go. And then we contemplate the life of Christ, which is the third week. And then there's a moment, a special heavy moment in the life of Christ, which is the special moment of salvation, his passion and crucifixion. So there's a whole week dedicated to his passion and crucifixion. Now, again, when I'm speaking about weeks here, that's sometimes like two or three meditations, because we just have like a little bit today, the whole day of tomorrow, and then a little bit of Sunday. And we have to go through all the process. So it is a challenge. We don't have time to lose, so to say. And then after we go through that cross, his passion and his death, the last week is his resurrection. And then how do I apply that in my life, that I'm going back? I mean, I'm going to go back from the mountaintop. I'm going back to my house and to my ordinary life, but hopefully in a very extraordinary way. So once I said that, this first conference, this first talk, this first meditation, it's about a little bit like giving you a little bit what we call a composition of place. So composition of place for St. Ignatius of Loyola is that when you are starting a meditation and you want just to pray, it is very normal that you get dryness or you're like, okay, now I don't know what to think about. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to move on. And then St. Ignatius says, well, that is normal. And it's good for you to have an image where you can always go back to, and you can say, well, but I can stay in this image. And if the only thing that I do in the rest of my time is staying in this image, then everything was good. Everything was worth it. And that image could be, you know, like seeing yourself as a lamb in the hands of Jesus. It's incredible how simple that is. And me personally, that image has helped me a lot in my life. This is to be like a lamb in the arms of Jesus. But for these spiritual exercises, I want to give you some compositions of place that I think that are more useful to us. And the first composition of place that I wanted to give you is just to be with Jesus wherever you want, like in a lake, in in a beach and just be with him in the ocean or in a river or in a mountaintop or just walking with him through the woods somewhere, because this retreat, independently of all the steps that I told you about that we have to go through the spiritual exercises, just dump that to the garbage. In this retreat, you can just be with Jesus and you say, I really needed this break in my life. I needed to feel myself loved and to love someone and know that I am completely loved. And then there's someone who cares for me and that someone is love itself. And I'm just spending time with me. That's enough. So I just want to be with him. So complicated spiritual exercises, I hope they're not going to be complicated. I'm going to try my best. But complicated spiritual exercises, I don't understand anything. I can't follow anything. But I'm with you, Jesus. I'm with you at the ocean. I am with you in the mountaintop. I am with you anywhere. That is great. You can be there the rest of Friday, whole Saturday, and the beginning of Sunday. And if you did that, you'll feel very, very happy. And it's just gonna give you all that boosting that you need for your life for the rest of the year. Now, another important composition of place that I want to propose to you is just to be entering a church and walking towards the altar. And entering a church with a white dress, like a bride. And that church, like the entrance of the church and the hallway or nave that you're just going through in your way towards the altar, is your life. It's not a walk of, I don't know, like 2-3 minutes from the entrance to the altar. But it's like the entrance of your life, and you're walking towards the altar because Jesus is that bridegroom that is waiting for you at the end of that hallway, at the foot of the altar, to take you with him and to take you with him to heaven. So that is the perfect image, not just for a composition of place of this spiritual exercises, which could be also the composition of place of these spiritual exercises, like the beginning of these spiritual exercises is your entrance in the church, and the end of the spiritual exercises, hopefully, is that you just reach that altar and he's taking with you. But that's also a composition of place for your whole life. And it is not just, oh, it would be so good. No, that's the way it is. It's the truth about your life. You were made for heaven. And that means that you entered life, you're moving forward, and then you're meeting Christ, and then he's taking you there. And if you like that composition of place, if you want to stay there, then I can recommend the Psalm 45, which is the psalm of the wedding of, you can say this like the wedding of the Lamb. It's like Jesus Christ with his bride, that you can, of course, interpret that psalm with Jesus Christ and his bride, that is the church. But it is, you can also interpret it that the wedding of Jesus Christ with his bride, that are you. And both interpretations are very good, and both are true in different levels. But if you go to that psalm, the first part of the psalm is a description of the bridegroom. And it's a beautiful description. You can just stay there. And it's like, okay, this is the person, this is the bridegroom that I am giving my life to. Because, by the way, your real husband is Jesus Christ. And it has always been Jesus Christ. So if you think that this idea of Jesus Christ being the bridegroom is for nuns only, that's not true. It's for each one of us, because our heart, like St. Augustine says, it's thirsty for something that cannot find anywhere in this world, because our heart was made for Jesus Christ. So we do have husbands, but we have husbands to help us in that path towards the ultimate bridegroom, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, since he is the bridegroom, he can also do something like he does with me or consecrated people. He's like, don't worry, I'm going to take care of yourself. I'm going to take care of you personally. And so in a certain way, those who are our husbands are more like our mission than our husbands. Well, they're also our husbands in different levels. But you know what I mean? You won't find on earth anything that fulfills the desires of your heart the way you're going to find with Jesus, because you were made for him. So you can go to that Psalm 45. In this Bible, the title is Song for a Royal Wedding, and which is very proper because you are a princess of the kingdom, because you have the blood of Christ in you, which is the greatest king. And so from verse 1 till verse 10, it's basically the description of him. And then starting on verse 11, it says, listen, my daughter, and understand. Pay me careful heed. Forget your people and your father's house, that the king might desire your beauty. He is your Lord. Honor him, daughter of Tyre. Then the riches of the people will seek your favor with gifts. Oh, glorious is the king's daughter as she enters, her raiment threaded with gold. In embroidered apparel, she is led to the king. The maids of her train are presented to the king. They are led with glad and joyous acclaim. They enter the palace of the king. And then it continues. It's very beautiful, and it could be very useful. Now, another composition of place that I can give you is the composition of place of a pilgrimage. Just think about these spiritual exercises as a pilgrimage. And of course, the basic psalms for the pilgrimage is, you know, that psalm is like, how joyful I was when they told me that I was going to the house of the Lord. And then you're going with all the tribes of Israel to praise the Lord in Jerusalem. And well, Jerusalem was going to the mountain for all the tribes of Israel, and going high to the mountain to praise the Lord. And what better context than the retreat house that we're in? I mean, you literally went up the mountain for this. And if you choose that composition of place, you can go to Psalm 122, which is precisely speaks about that. Another composition of place is when you are, and this is more a composition of place for this meditation concretely that we're doing. When you are entering a church, especially here in the United States, you enter the church, and once you're inside, you're not in the church. You're almost in the church, because there's a space between the entrance of the church and the church proper. Sometimes there's it's divided by some kind of a wall or crystal, so that you can find their flyers, or sometimes there's the bathroom and so on. So that's called the atrium. And in Rome, for example, some churches as atrium, they have a garden, like the Church of St. Paul's, St. Paul outside the wall. So it's like you're first in the atrium in this contemplation, this meditation, like walking in that garden, and you know that the church is very close, that you're about to enter something that is very holy, but now you're preparing your soul for the entrance. You're just leaving behind what you left behind before you came here to the retreat. You're not thinking about it anymore, and you need that time to prepare your soul. So you see the flowers, you see the plants, you see the statue of St. Paul, and then you just walk around, breathe deeply, and then you're ready to enter the church. That's another composition of place. The important thing in all these moments, if you were following me, is just to understand that you're with someone who loves you and who is ready to make you completely happy. Now, about that, with someone who loves me, you can also ask yourself, how much does he love me? And when And when we talk about that, I always put this example that some of you already know, which is the example of seeing your soul, or yeah, yourself, everything that you are inside, as a house. Just think of a house here in, I don't know, I'm thinking about Litchfield, Connecticut, or yeah, the northern part of Stamford, or you know, like some house in the woods, kind of like Armonk also, or what's in Bedford. And then you're driving in front of this these houses, and you say, oh, okay, that's a nice house, but you just see the facade of the house because it's just driving by. And it's like people that are in Manhattan in the sidewalk, and you're watching the faces of the people, and then you don't know more about those people. You just saw them once, and you're not seeing them again, probably. Just to say, oh, what I knew about that person is just the face that I saw. But then there are people who really stop at that house because they're visiting. And so that's that part of your soul where you let people in as visitors. It's a two-story house, and you let them in to the first floor. No, it's just for receiving people. There's the living room, and then there's the dining room. There's a small parlor or whatever there is. And normally not in the kitchen because, you know, like, you're my guest. It's like, but if you're my friend, yes, of course, you come in the kitchen and we talk a little bit inside of the kitchen. But the second floor is reserved for family members. That's another part of your soul that is more reserved. I mean, this is not for everyone. This is for family members. Of course, you try to follow this example of the house, because I know that in your house there are also visitors that come to the second floor. I know how it is. Just try to follow my example. And so when you go to the second floor, it's like it's deeper, it's more intimate. It's you say things that you wouldn't share with everyone down there in the first floor. It's my sister, my siblings, my children, my husband, my dad, my mom. Think about that. But then in the second floor, there's also your room, you know, and it's your room where you're with your husband or where you are there in your room. And then the children are not allowed there. I know that they are, but so the children are not allowed there and nobody else. It's your room. It's a more intimate part of your soul that you just share with one more person, and that's it. But even in that room, there's some kind of a, if you go to the closet, I mean, there's part of it that it's his, and it's part of it that it's mine. Or there's this desk that it's my desk, and this is only mine, and these are my drawers with my things. So it's, and that is not because you are trying to hide something or something that is just reserved. Actually, no. Sometimes there are moments, and maybe you've made this experience, where, I don't know, you're just walking and you see a bird, and then you put together the bird with something that you were thinking before, and then you just smile or you just burst out with a little laughter, like, and people around you is like, what is it? No? And it's like, I would like to tell you, but it's so hard to explain. It's something so mine. And it's not that I don't want to share, but you would have to be in my mind to understand what I'm talking about or what I'm laughing about, because I'm putting things together that you wouldn't understand, or it would take just like a whole month to tell you that. And we're not going to do it. And those are very intimate moments that you really think, I can only understand myself in these areas. Now, here's something like more special about this. Let's just go to the part of the closet that belongs to you. So that we're very much in a very intimate part of your soul. But then you move the the clothes, you move the, I don't know, the jacket, one of your jackets or dresses, and then you see a door behind. It's like kind of a Narnia thing, no? You just open, you go into the wardrobe, and you see a door, and you know that that's the most intimate part of your soul. That like the part of your soul. And you see the door, and you cannot get in, because you don't have the key. And you kind of get a little bit angry, because it's like, hey, it's my soul that we're talking about. Like, how can I not go to any part of my soul? And you know, if when we, hopefully when we die, but definitely when we go to heaven and we face God, you will see that when that door actually opens, what you see inside is Jesus. Like, I cannot believe. And Jesus will call you with a name. He will tell you, hi, and it's not your name. It's not your name, because if you think about your name, it was a name given to you by your parents. Like, after 9 months of being in the womb of your mother, like when you got baptized, or even later, like in the first days, it's like, we're gonna call her. And but even that, when they say, we're gonna call her, because at a certain point, they knew it was her. But they didn't know at the very beginning. And they didn't even know, not even your mother knew exactly when she got pregnant. She cannot say in this moment she got pregnant. If she doesn't know when she got pregnant, how would she have ever known who you are? Like, and when I mean who you are is what, if you're a girl or a boy, if you're going to be tall or small, if you're going to have this kind of personality or other character traits and things, she couldn't. But God knew, because when God created you, I actually don't like to say that God created you, because it sounds like God created the sun, God created the moon, God created the earth, the stars, everything. But God didn't create you. God called you into existence. And the difference of that being called into existence is that God didn't create a thing. He created a person. A person in his image, in his likeness. A person that can actually have a conversation with him. A dog cannot have a conversation with God. No matter how much I love Rico, my dog, he can't have a conversation with God. And I must be honest, he can't even have a conversation with me. He just knows some keywords. And those keywords have something to do with hike, going out to walk or to eat. So sometimes I'm just like thinking maybe he likes eating or walking more than me. And you know, with God it's different. With persons it's different. Because persons can have a personal relationship. Persons can be called friends. And even when we dislike persons, we dislike them with a certain passion that we wouldn't dislike something that is not a person. Because there is a relationship, even a negative relationship, but there is a relationship. And God called us for a positive relationship because he created us with love. Because, you know, our parents put some cells together, but from material things, there cannot come out a spiritual being. That's beyond the capacity of our parents, beyond the capacity of biology. So God had to, it was indispensable for God to do his intervention to give us spirit. But the most beautiful thing of all is that God didn't create you random, but he knew exactly who he was calling. So he called you by name, a name that was important for him, and a name that concentrated in that name everything that you are. Of course, the name that you have now doesn't concentrate everything that you are. I mean, most of us have at least one more person in the world that have our same name. So who is the real one, she or me? No, but there's a name that just tells how important you are to him. And that name is the name that he is just waiting to give you when you finally meet him face to face in heaven. And somehow, something happened in the world, we're going to talk about it, that we're not really ready to hear that name now. But we do have it. And God is moving us towards the knowledge of that name. And that name is so dear to him that, and he created you with that name, that God loves any one of us with such an intensity that that love creates. Imagine now that you just think, I'm just going to think about my ideal man. No, it's just like kind of imagination of, 15-year-old girl. I don't know. It's like, how is it going to be my husband? No, and I'm just going to think of the perfect one. You think of the perfect, everything perfect. It's like, I would love him so much. Okay, it's yours. It's perfect. Yes. Okay, create him. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, just like make him appear. Make him appear. It's like, what are you talking? Yeah, just concentrate. Let's do this exercise. You love him so much. You want him so much. Just make him appear. You can't. And it's not you can't because you cannot do magic. You can't because you love too little. You don't love him because for you it doesn't even exist. It's your imagination. But you didn't exist. And God loved you so much that you appeared. You were called into existence. And he has not stopped loving you because you're still here. So when you're asking yourself, am I loved? Does somebody love me? Look in the mirror. It's like, hey, I'm here. That means that God loves me. I haven't just disappeared. He's keeping you in existence because you're important to him. Now, I think that gives us a good room for thinking. It's a good start. If you, just going back to the compositions of place, remember Psalm 45 is the wedding, and then Psalm 122 is that psalm about the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And then there was another psalm for the atrium, that means the place before entering actually the church. And it's a very beautiful psalm also. It's Psalm 84. I just want to mention quickly that Psalm 84 because it's really worth mentioning. In Psalm 84, the title of this Bible is Prayer of a Pilgrim to Jerusalem. I'm going to read some verses of the psalm, but I just want to make a special emphasis on number 10. And I'm going to start with number 6. Blessed the man who finds refuge in you. In their hearts are pilgrim roads. As they pass through the back of valley, they find spring water to drink. The early rain covers it with blessings. They will go from strength to strength and see the God of gods on Zion. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob. O God, watch over our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed. Better one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Better the threshold of the house of my God than a home in the tents of the wicked. So I really hope that at the end of this retreat, you can say that it was better one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. better to be here because I'm with you, Jesus, than anything I could have been doing anywhere. Like Mary said at the beginning, like you could have been doing many things, but you were here. You were here. And if it helps you, just to put it in another way, you are here and you know that, going back to the composition of place of you with Jesus at the shore of the lake, and you're holding hands with Jesus. And you know that in a certain moment in this pilgrimage, he is going to be crucified. I mean, I don't think too much about it because we will have our time to think about it. But just think about your Johnny, Jesus, at that in that shore. And he's going to World War I or World War II very soon. And you're having moments with him. And you say, he is my husband. He is my beloved. And he's going away. He's going to suffer. Then you know he's coming back. He's coming back. He will resurrect. But it's like so much of this time spending here with Jesus, and this is the point that I was trying to tell you, and it's right retaking something that Mary said, which is so much of the time that you're spending here, yes, it's wonderful because your soul will be refreshed, hopefully. You're gonna make an encounter with Christ and you're gonna be like very happy just to be with him. Wonderful. And it's wonderful that it's good for your soul. But think about this one moment. You don't know how important it is for him that you're here. How much comfort it gives Jesus that that you're here. How much he has been waiting for this weekend for his own sake, because he loves you so much.